so aware of what God wants to do, and I really sense this morning, you just want to show us something new for where we are at, where we are at in our lives, in the season that we're in, what's going on in our lives, and wherever you're at, and that we can come, you can come boldly. You can come boldly to God and ask Him. Ask Him those specific prayers, pray those specific things. Say it as it is. Say it as it is, you bring it to God. I love that to just, especially when I'm in the mountain, just start talking to God and just saying, this is all the stuff, this is what's happening, these are the things that I'm trusting you for, these are the things, I don't know how it's going to happen, this is where I need the breakthrough, I need a change. And you just start speaking to the Lord and just giving it all to Him. Amen. And then you trust God to just to see Him in a new way. But this morning, I just quickly want to share something. We all have our phones. We know that sometimes we say that our phone, this is life. This is without your phone. You say, man, then I lost so much, all my contacts. And without my phone, I'm lost. My whole world is gone. These are the phrases that we use. And we say that without my phone and I can't connect to anyone, I feel disconnected. So we've experienced some of that the last couple of weeks. Usually when you get a new phone and you move from Android to iPhone, you just want to get all your WhatsApps and all the contacts. And sometimes there's some photos we don't want to lose, at least you don't want to lose that photo of that baby that you still want to send to someone. And it's all these things. And we drop our phones, we break the glass, and it's always, man, that's like a bad moment. You know, when that phone dropped, then your heart dropped with the phone. And then you see, okay, at least the glass is still intact. So we had a similar situation. The door of the car didn't want to close. So Lee was slamming the door. And after a while, she realized the door is not going to close because the phone is lying right there. So that one was broken. That was game over. Because the door didn't close. Okay. So these are all the kind of things that's happening to us. It's interesting to know that in the age that we live in, and we say that we're all connected, we're all on WhatsApp and on Facebook and with all the contacts and everything, we've got a whole computer in your pocket. They say this is the time when we are the most loneliest, as a generation. We're the most disconnected than we've ever been in the history of the world. This is part of the problem, because we feel connected, but we're not really connected. We feel that we've got everything there, but we're missing something. And even Jesus, He's talking about just connecting to people. And I'm going to read for us a piece out of Luke 10. And mostly if we ask someone, doesn't matter if they know the Bible or they don't know the Bible or they come to church or not, they will know the story about the Good Samaritan. Interesting that we always say the Good Samaritan. But I'm going to read it for us, just that piece of Luke 10. And I just want us to as we read it and as we look at it again, we'll ask the Lord to show us something new. Show us something new out of your word. Before that, we were doing a course at Shofar Institute, and we were busy. Well, we looked at the piece in Luke 10, the first few verses where Jesus sent out the 72. He sent out the people. And every morning we read the same piece over 4 days. So we had it as like a devotional. And every morning there was a different question. So first we read it and they say, okay, so what's the first thing that just jumped out? And then next day, okay, so what were you thinking? Where do you see yourself in the story? And it was going on, reading the same piece over and over and over. And I realized at the end of the day, every day it was different. Every day Jesus, it was something new coming out of the Word. And I trusted this morning as we look at also at Luke 10, but just later on in that same verse, that there will be something new that comes up. Because we all know the story. Well, what I wanted to add about just the phones, I'm on my motorbike every week. And when I started out in 2008, man, then people were in traffic. Because I'm always aware of what people are doing. They used to read the newspaper, or they were doing makeup, using the mirrors, all the mirrors that's available. So those were the kind of things that happened in traffic. And these days, everyone is just sitting on their phones. And so it's a different ballgame out there, because nobody is looking up anymore. The cars are all going, but they're all right here. So I said it before, it's like motorbike riding is like walking with a cup of coffee through your house, around the corner. If someone bump you, you're going to spill. That's to get an idea. So in the parable of the Good Samaritan, let's start reading from verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. And he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" So we know that this guy is an expert. He was probably a Pharisee or someone that was studying the Word, studying the Old Testament scriptures. That's what they had. Next week, there's another course about the Old Testament, and they call it the Bible Jesus Read. That was the scriptures that they had available. So immediately, this guy also, he wanted to know, what must I do? Now, really often that's what we want to know. We want to know, what must I do? Just a transaction. Do this, get this. Do this, get this. And not Jesus is more into transformation. He wants to change our lives. So he's asking, then Jesus said, "What is written in the law?" And he replied, "How do you read it?" He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Interesting that Jesus, the giver of life, is probably the only one that could say, "Do this and you will live." And then, but he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" So he quoted this, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." But I think now he wanted to see, okay, but who is my neighbor? So then I maybe don't have to love everyone. Just clarify this, because I want to do the right thing here. I want to know this guy, that I can tick the boxes. Who are those people? And then I can do that. And then that's just how it's going to happen. Interesting, they were quoting about Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 and Leviticus, the second commandment. All that does that the guy was quoting there. And then Jesus continued and he started telling the story about the Good Samaritan. And I've got some of it up there. And Jesus replied, I got some photos. He said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers." Now, if you look on the map, Jerusalem here, Jericho going to the Jordan River, they were going down. Okay, there's a lot of things that we can read into that, Jerusalem being center of Christianity. Some will say this is coming from God, going to the world, from the church to the world, where Jericho is the world, and it's going down. The distance was about 18 miles, 29 kilometers, so it's probably to Cape Gate and back. Cape Gate Shopping Mall, if you must walk it. And it was a bit of a rough place. So there's just the scenery, lots of caves there, a lot of places for people to hide. It was a dangerous place, and there they all walking. So that's just something to give you an idea of the road. I was there in Jordan from the other side, looking to Jericho, nice and flat. So they're all coming down. And then Jesus continued. They actually called that road, it was so dangerous. Some would call it the Blood Pass. Or there have always been attacks there and things happening. So the man was traveling, and then he was attacked by robbers. And they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, they went away, leaving him half dead. And then we know the different people that come past. Okay, so a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. So often Jesus would tell these stories, and he would put all the different people in there, and he will show it up almost as a mirror, that we can see ourselves in this parable or in the story, and we can see, okay, where do I fit in? Which one am I? And it's interesting, the priest, this was really a guy that was, he was doing the sacrifices for the people. He was the connection between God and the people. He was the one that must go into the temple and do a lot of things and then hear from God. And he will come back and he will speak to the people. And also the Levites, like we know, they were also very high up in the church of the day, doing the right thing, the guys that were appointed in church or in their system. But interesting for them to walk across the road, that would have deemed them unclean. So maybe they were going to a conference speaking about love and all that stuff, and they were a speaker, and they say, if I help this guy, then I'm going to be unclean, and I can't speak at the conference. Or then I can't do whatever I need to do. Whatever his excuse was that day, they maybe have a lot of things. Then it's not even to speak about the difference between the Jews and the Samaritans, where they hated one another. If you're in the marketplace, in the shadow of the Samaritan fell on you and you're a Jew, then your whatever you were buying, you must put it down, because that's not unclean, and you must get new things. It was really extreme what they were going through, and just the hate for one another. So those guys, probably they had a lot of, we don't know why did they just pass by. Maybe it was just all these things going through their head. I'm going to be unclean if I go there. Maybe I've got valid reasons. Maybe it's just the differences. We hate one another. This is how I was brought up. This is how it's always been. This is what I've been taught. This is all the stuff. Or maybe they would have just said, but if I help this one, this is dangerous. I need to go. I need to get away from here. And sometimes it is dangerous to help someone. I know when I used to stop a bit more next to the road than these days, just helping people. Because it's a dangerous place. So they might have had a very valid reason to do what they were doing. Interesting, they had all the opinions. These are the guys that were memorizing the law, the scripture from a small age. They would have quoted everything, and they were teaching others. And we don't really know why didn't they stop. We just know that this is what happened. And then by the Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was. And when he saw him, it's a key thing, he took pity on him. So this guy, maybe he had all the reasons also to walk past. Because he's also seeing that, well, this is a Samaritan and Jews, and this is the stuff that's happening. But the key is he had pity on him. Maybe he was thinking, what if it's me? Or what if, maybe he asked the question, what is going to happen if I don't do anything? Because the guy who was lying there was naked, he was half dead. And he stopped, he took pity on him, he went to him, he bandaged his wounds, he pouring on oil and wine, then he put the man on his own donkey, he brought him to an inn, he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, that was like 2 wages, 2 days of payment, and he gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him, and said, when I return, I will reimburse you for an extra expense you may have. So this is the story. There's all these Jesus is telling this and he's putting this murder up. And they said there's all these elements. There's the robbers. They're the guys, they're just angry. They just want to hurt people. And sometimes we are also robbers. We manipulate, we hurt people with our words. You know, the Bible says this, life and death is in the power of our tongue. So we can almost be like a robber. Sometimes, Jesus said, sometimes we are like priests. We just walk past. And we say there's a lot of good reasons why I don't have to do anything. I don't have to look. I don't have to go there. And I just walk past. There were the priests. There were the Levites. There was the victim, the guy lying there. So that's also the stuff that's happening where we are victims of robbers, where we are victims of things that's happening in our lives. And there's the Samaritan. So those are all the role players in the story. And it's interesting to see what the Samaritan was doing and what happened there. Because the two things, it was an inconvenience for him to help. And it cost him something. Sometimes we think, well, I think I will help, but if it fits into schedule or if this is where I'm going, yes, I've got extra time, yes, I can stop, yes, I can do it. But for this guy, he was traveling, he saw what was happening, he immediately had pity on him, and he did something about it. It was an inconvenience, and it costed him something. And I was just thinking, sometimes what I will do is, I will give money just to that someone else can do the whatever is necessary. Not as part of helping, but in lieu of. Where you say, okay, I'm not saying it is wrong. I'm just saying that we just need to look at our hearts. We just need to investigate. I believe God wants to show us something new out of this thing. He certainly spoke to me about this chapter. And I realize sometimes the roles are also changing. Sometimes we are victims of certain things. Sometimes we are people that are the receiving end of bad things and manipulation and control and stuff that's happening in this world. And sometimes we are the robbers. Sometimes we are people that just walk past. Sometimes we are like a Samaritan. We stop. We just stop. We say, okay, I have pity. I'm going to do something. Even if it's going to be an inconvenience to me, even if it's going to cost me something. The truth is, the priest and the Levites, they knew if they're going to touch this, they're going to get involved, it's going to be messy. It's going to get messy. But that is the world we live in. It's messy. It's a messy business. Because all of us, there's stuff, there's brokenness, there's hurt, there's a broken world. These are the things that are happening. And I realized that the redemptive, saving, the work of God, the work that God wants to do, what Jesus wants to do in this world, it's a messy business. It's a messy business. And Jesus is really coming, and he invites us to be part of what he wants to do. And even in this world that I was thinking, we feel like we're so connected, but we get so disconnected. We feel like we're in the crowd or wherever we are. It might feel like you're connected, but actually we might be very disconnected. Actually we might be very lonely. Actually we might be lying next to the road, hurting. Lying next to the road, bleeding. And that's where we need someone to just to walk past and to see and to do and to stop. And through this, Jesus is coming and he almost chips away on your heart. He chips away. You just say, what about this? What about that? There's another pastor I read. He wrote that he was doing a sermon about prejudice. Things that we think about other people and just a week after he was sitting in a restaurant and he was making jokes with some of his friends and jokes about other people. And then the waiter came past and he said, "Pastor, I was in your church Sunday. I heard your sermon." And then he realized that was just God chipping away. He said he was saying all this stuff, and he thought that now he's alone and nothing happened. And there's someone that just came and that just chipped away. Or God used that situation to just chip away at his heart. And even this week, I just realized there were things that I said and I didn't get to. Someone that I said I'm going to phone, I didn't phone them. But usually the stuff will just happen and life goes on and it's busy. But sometimes you get those reminders. I believe it's a reminder that the Holy Spirit will come and he'll just remind you of something. And these are the kind of reminders. They come one at a time. That's how it happens for me. It doesn't come in the chaos. It doesn't come in the noise. It just stands out suddenly. And I realized that this was just God chipping on my heart and something that I must go back to and make right. But life is a messy business, and we might find ourselves in this story, whichever role we're playing. The amazing thing about the Samaritan, where they all of them had their different reasons for what they were doing, their different excuses, why they didn't get involved. The Samaritan, it said he had pity on him. He had compassion. Maybe he asked, "So if I'm not going to do something, what is going to happen? If I'm not going to do something," he had pity on him. Maybe he thought that could have been me traveling on this dangerous road. That can be me. Maybe next time it's going to be me. Maybe he was asking those questions. And then we can get back to the original question that this teacher of the law, the expert of the law that was asking Jesus. He said, "Lord, show me who is the neighbor." So let's just go back to Jesus asking in verse 36. He said, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" Which one do you think was a neighbor? So Jesus is immediately changing the question. He's not saying that the guy asks, "Show me who's my neighbor." Jesus is saying, "Who was the neighbor?" And the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Now I realized it's not really who is my neighbor. The question is, am I a neighbor? Am I a neighbor? Am I someone that has pity on people? Am I someone that walk and see and do something? Am I someone that just connects, really connect, and not just take my phone and try to be connected in a certain way? But am I really connected to one another? Am I a neighbor? Interesting, it's not even am I a good neighbor. It's applied if you're a neighbor, you're good. It's not really, good neighbors. Neighbors are good. Neighbors have pity on people. Neighbors reach out to people. And the thing is, I need you and you need me. We need one another. We need people around us. We need community. And these are just some of the things that God is starting to speak to me about. And I realize what we were talking about, abiding in Christ and staying connected to the Lord, the next thing that God's going to do is going to start to give us a heart for people. That is the next. That's a possible next step. That is something that we can trust God for. That is something that we can say, "Lord, help me to be a neighbor. Help me to see." Because even us, we can come in here and we can go on and life can go on and life is messy, it's busy, there's a lot of things happening. And Jesus said, "But be a neighbor. Be a neighbor." And I realized the roles are changing all the time. Sometimes I'm a robber. Sometimes I'm like a priest or the Levite. Sometimes I just Sometimes I'm lying next to the road. And sometimes that's the same for all of us. And there's an invitation to be a neighbor. There's an invitation to just to look to one another, to see one another, and really to ask God, so Lord, how's it going to look? How's it going to be to have pity on one another, to have compassion for one another, to really give love? Because I realized from this that there's something that stood out, is it was an inconvenience and it cost him something. And just looking at my life, I realized sometimes helping is an inconvenience and it costs us something. And the challenge is really to live what some will call proximate lives, lives that are close, lives that is close to one another. The word proximate, I've put it up there, it says close in relationship, immediate, near. Just lives that are close to the people around us, that actually see the people around us. Because being a neighbor, we can be a neighbor to one another. We can be a neighbor for our family. We can be a neighbor for people that we pass by in the street. We can be a neighbor for our co-worker. We can be a neighbor for everyone that's close to us. The thing is that's going to make a difference is, do we really see? Do we want to see what's happening in this world that we live in? In a world that's really messy? In a world that is so much happening? I realize that is the thing that God is calling us. He's calling us to love. But what we want to do, we still want to ask that question, Lord, show me who's my neighbor. Show me who... what I must do. Show me the transactional thing. Show me what I must do, then you do this. Show me I do this, then I'm in the good books. Show me this, then I'm in a better place. And God is just saying, no, I didn't want to go in the transactional thing. I want to transform. I want to do something new in our lives. He want to transform our lives. He want to bring that His love can flow through us. We always speak about the hands and being the hands and the heart and the feet of Jesus. And I realize that we can be this when we are a neighbor. We can be it when we see the people around us. That is when we can be that hands, heart, and feet of Jesus. And ultimately, it is us, like it said there, who's the neighbor? The one that have mercy. The one that had mercy. And the ultimate one that had mercy on us is Jesus. He was the ultimate neighbor. He was the one that had mercy on us and come to us with all our faults, with all our issues, with our brokenness. And He's still reaching out to us today. And today this is really just something I want us to think about it. I want us to just take this piece and go read through it again. Maybe ask the Lord, where am I in this story? Which role am I playing right now? And then just to ask the Lord, help me to see what is going on around me. And help me to connect with people. Even we are privileged to come together as a church. We're privileged to meet in small groups. We're privileged to, whenever we connect, that's a privilege. Because I realize that sometimes even those things, it's an inconvenience. Sometimes it doesn't really fit into the schedule, into life, because life is busy, it's messy. There's a lot of stuff happening. But there's something of Jesus in you guys. There's something in Jesus inside of us. And as we come together, there's something that we are going to see of Jesus as we get to know one another. There's something that people are going to experience of Jesus as we connect with them, as we come together. And this is really, I pray that through this week, to think about it, as we pray about it, as we talk about it, say, Lord, help me to be a neighbor. Help me to have mercy on someone. Help me to reach out. And we're going to unpack it even more at our conference. We're going to speak about love. I said, Lord, I spend time with you. I want to see. I want to get to know you better. But at the same time, I said, Lord, what are you telling me right now? What are you chipping away at my heart? What are the things that you are highlighting right now that I can be a neighbor to people around me?